filled with sin and shame, and there's darkness all around. Earthly thrills have been in vain, peace you have not found. You may not know which way to go, there's a friend who reaches down low. He'll help you turn around. Though sin may have you bound, he reaches down in the miry clay. Open up the door, so let him in. He'll be your friend. Start life anew, that's the thing to do. Your mind is filled with grief and woe, and there's trouble all around. There is a friend you need to know, he'll never let you down. You may not know which way to go, his hand is reaching way down low. Just let him take control. He wants to save your soul. He reaches down in the miry clay. Take his hand. Be saved today. Though he may have knocked many times before, this may be your last chance to open up the door. Life anew, that's the thing to do. He's calling you. Start life anew, that's the thing to do. He's calling you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. God, we love you. Amen. I'm in the book of Romans tonight. I love the book of Romans because I know when I'm reading in Romans, I'm reading a writing that is written from an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ with instructions to the church, brothers and sisters of like precious faith. People who believe in the one true God. People who have been filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That's what the book of Romans is about. It's a letter to people who were baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. As I've told many during the years, through the years, when they're reading in Romans, trying to find the salvation plan and what they call the Romans road, that is something that is a little bit confusing to many, because a lot of people are trying to get saved by reading somebody else's mail. Amen. Amen. You need to find out what is written for you, and then later you can be included in this letter that's written to the Romans church. But you don't get saved by reading the book of Romans and following any instructions given in Romans. I'm sorry, all my friends out there on the internet who are right now sitting there with a puffed up look on your face because you don't agree with me. There is no salvation plan for any sinner in the book of Romans. Amen. People read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They skip Acts and go to Romans because they think they found an easy road to salvation. No. We've all got to come in the same way the church at Rome did. Amen. They didn't skip what has to be done. Neither can we. But I want to go to the book of Romans, and I just want to read from the mail to the church, but talk to people who are not necessarily in the church yet. Amen. So, because sometimes it's good to have somebody explain what's going on, especially if it's somebody else's mail. Amen. In the fifth chapter of Romans, we read about the abundant grace of Christ our Lord. Verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Everybody say, all have sinned. There are many people handing out tracts around the world today trying to convince you that you are a sinner and you need to be able to confess, I am a sinner. Well, I don't think anybody has a problem confessing we are sinners, or we were sinners, or we may become sinners again. I mean, sin is a pretty easy thing to confess. But confessing that you're a sinner does not save you. Now, when I read some of this mail to the church, it may sound like a contradiction when I say that, and then I talk about how by grace you are saved. But remember one thing. If you're a sinner, and when I say sinner, let me define sinner. You may be seated because I may talk and read too. But if you're a sinner, you may be a sinner and not really realize you're a sinner. Because you don't have to do a lot of bad things to be a sinner. How do you become a sinner? You simply don't do anything. It's something that if you're a human being, you are by default a sinner. It's just part of what we enter into. And then there are people who are sinners who sin a lot more than some others. And a lot of times people who are sinners judge those people to be sinners because they're sinning. But the truth of the matter, most people that you meet, no matter how nice they seem to be, and no matter how much they may claim to be a Christian, most all people that you ever meet are people who still need to deal with sin. Something needs to be done about it. And God has provided a way. But there is a plan for all sinners to follow in order to get into the church. For all have sinned. Everybody say, all have sinned. Amen. And then there is a plan for once you get into the church, to stay in the church. Because even though you're in the church, we still have to deal with that old human nature. And sometimes people in the church make mistakes. And then sinners who are not in the church judge them. I thought you were a Christian. You ever heard people say that? And you're supposed to be a Christian? get behind on your bill a little bit. And some bill collector will say, and I thought you were a Christian. And it's easy for sinners to be judgmental. And then when we say something from the Word of God that points a finger to that person because of the way they're living, they'll quickly say, you're not supposed to judge. And sinners can judge Christians, but Christians better not judge sinners. And even saying things like, you're a sinner, that's like rubbing chicken feathers the wrong way, or a cat hair, you know, the cat hair, the fur, the wrong way. It just doesn't feel good to be called a sinner, does it? Amen. But when we do it in this context where we're able to say what the Word of God says, all have sinned, that makes us feel a little bit better. We're able to say, well, you know, he's not singling just one person out. This is a thing where all people are included, and that's true. Not one of us can claim that we haven't been in sin. How many of you realize you either are or you have been a sinner? Would you raise your hand? Now, I'm not going to ask you for a detailed list of all that you have done. But I can tell you something that some of us maybe have not done that would really be great if you would do it. And that is, let Jesus take away your sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's what this is all about. This whole Bible is all about. It's a thing where all have sinned, but God has given us a remedy to help us. And there is a way that you can have your sin taken away. And then once that's done, you are what's called a Christian. Not as the world defines Christianity, but as God sees you as being His child. That's what a real Christian is. It's a real child of God who has passed from death to life. From hopeless despair going a bad direction to having hope with a great promise of eternal life and great blessings forever. And we can read a lot here about the grace of God if we keep reading. Let me read a little bit more. For until the law, this is going back in history now, way back a long time ago, even thousands of years ago, and a time period until the law meaning the commandments of God, such as the commandments, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, and so forth, delivered by Moses to the people of God. But before that time, until the law, amen, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Therefore, you can go back in the Old Testament, you can read a lot of bad stuff that happened even before the law and people that God used. And even after the law, you can read a lot of bad stuff of people that failed God after they walked with God. But they found mercy and they found grace with God. And it's still that way today, even though we're not under the law as it was delivered in the way that the people kept the law before Jesus was crucified. Laws are in our hearts and they have been written there, and there are more laws than just Ten Commandments. But everything still hinges on love God and love your neighbor. Amen. And if you love God, you will do, you'll at least attempt to do what God commands. And if you say you love God and you don't love your neighbor, then you're not really saying it right. You're having a problem yet. But then death reigned from Adam to Moses over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For through the offense of one, many be dead. Much more, the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one, to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Now, you don't have to understand anything I just now read. Those words can be a little complicated, especially when it's somebody else's mail and you haven't read all the chapters coming into it and you don't know what it's talking about. But grab a hold of what you can grab a hold of. You see, when I was in school, I was told I had to go. I cried and begged, I pleaded with Mom and Dad, let me stay home. I don't understand what the teacher's talking about. The kids make fun of me. I don't fit in. I don't know what's going on. I'm having to sit there. I get bored. I don't know the answers to the question. But it didn't matter what I said or how I acted. Every morning, I had to go to school. Because somebody knew more than I did about what was best for me. Somebody tonight knows more than you know what's best for you. And we are commanded to assemble ourselves together. We don't always do what we're commanded to do, and God does not make us do what He commands us to do. The command of God is not grievous. It's not to hurt us. It's not to make us feel bad. It's not to cause us to feel like He's a tough, mean God, but it's for our good. He wants us to go to church even if we don't feel like we fit in. He wants us to read the Bible even if it's not something that pertains to where we are right now. And even if we don't understand it and we don't have a clue about what's going on, He wants us to hear the preaching even if it's just a lot of loud words and the preacher looks funny. He wants us to hear the songs even if they're out of tune, they don't make sense. He just wants us to be here. And He wants us to be a part of it, whether we fit in, whether we understand, or whether we even know why we're here or not. There's a reason why you need to be in church somewhere. And it needs to be a church that teaches and preaches the truth. And you may ask the question, so what is truth? Well, you're not the first one to ask the question. But Jesus has the answer because He said it like this, I am the truth. So we preach Jesus here. And you may say, well, a lot of churches preach Jesus. Well, they don't preach the same Jesus we preach if they're preaching Jesus to play second fiddle to the first God. Jesus is not the second person in the fictitious Trinity. Now, again, I ruffled some feathers. But you know what? Back when I didn't know how to add, somebody had to ruffle my feathers to teach me that I didn't know how to add. Somebody had to set me down and say, look, you need to learn something here. Because if I hadn't learned that 1 + 1 = 2, there are a lot of other things I could not have learned because I had to have that basic understanding of 1 + 1 = 2. And if you get started off wrong trying to be a Christian and you take a hold of some false theology from some so-called Christian group, who claims that you've got to stay in your sins, you've got to continue in sin, everybody sins more or less every day, nobody can keep from sinning. You've heard this over and over. If you've been around most church people, you've heard that you've got to keep sinning every day. And if you've been around most so-called churches, you have been taught, whether you understood what they were saying or not, you've been taught that you don't have to be baptized to be saved. And in most cases, they even teach you don't have to do anything. Except in the offering, you should make sure you give. I'm sorry to say that for the most part, Christianity, as it is in the world today, is a lot of playing games, foolishness. A money-making scheme. I am against religion. Boy, I got quiet on that one. Religion as we know it. Religion that has you God wants us to be something beyond religious, but He wants us to religiously do the right things. But Christianity is beyond religion. Being a true child of God, in order to get there, you've got to crucify your religion even. The things that you've always done, the things that you've always believed in, that you always thought you understood to be right. We have to be willing. And some people on the internet will say, well, you're trying to brainwash these people. No, I'm not. I'm trying to deliver the brainwashed people. I'm trying to offer hope to those who don't have any hope. To settle for feeling like you've got it all when you have nothing, and to not stand up here and point out the error of your way means that when I answer to God, and when I give an account, and He says, did you tell them the truth? And when I know the truth, for me not to tell you the truth is for me to be in trouble with a God that's telling me to tell you the truth. See, Paul was always concerned that he himself could become a castaway. After he had preached to others, that he could become a castaway. His concern, I don't believe it was that he might fall into sin, but it would be a sin if he failed because of the way they looked at him, or how they acted, or what was popular opinion, if he would fail to say it like it is, and tell the truth, whether it hurts or not, and let people know you're headed for a devil's hell. And that doesn't scare a lot of people today anymore, because hell is a common word used by a lot of people. Even when preachers say it, young people think they're cursing and swearing. Because it's just everybody's telling each other to go to hell. Hell yes, hell no, hell this, hell that. Give them hell. You hear all that, you know. I've been through hell today. No, you haven't. Ain't nobody here ever been through hell, because once you get there, you ain't getting out. And it's easy to tell each other to go to hell, but you can't cause that to happen. And the very enemy that you think needs to go there is going to be somebody that's going to spend eternity with you screaming just as loud as they can right in your face saying, I wish you'd help me out of here, and you won't be able to do anything about it, because you'll be screaming, somebody get me out of here. But see, it doesn't really faze a lot of people when you talk about heaven or hell, because it's just so commonly talked about and movies are made about it and people don't believe in it anymore. But it's easier to get attention when we talk about everyday things that go on in life. I know what they mean when they say, I'm going through hell. That's kind of a strong expression to say that I'm really having a tough time. You can make a choice to have a tough time on your way to hell, or have a tough time on your way to heaven. And you may ask yourself the question, so how do I change and start going to heaven? You have to find a way to get sin out of your life. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Mark this in your mind. When I started off tonight, I said, all these people that received this letter in the book of Romans, these Roman people that received this letter, had been baptized in the name of Jesus. They had received the Holy Ghost. They all had repented of their sin. Before this was ever written, before they ever became a church group that could receive this mail from Paul the Apostle, they had already taken those steps of repentance, baptism in Jesus' name. They all had realized at some point in their life they were sinners, and they had to get that sin under the blood of Jesus Christ that hung on the cross in order to become part of a church that could receive letters of instructions from the apostle of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So he's writing to them things that they know about. If you're a sinner, looking toward becoming a part of the church, there are a lot of things you don't know about yet, but keep coming. Keep looking into it. At some point, you will learn to add 1 plus 1 equals 2. And you don't learn that if you skip school. You got to keep coming. Be there even if you don't understand, or at least stay interested until you can start being regular. At some point, try to put things in perspective. Try to get your priorities right so that you can say, hey, this is important. God has to be first in my life. And since God has to be first, His church has to be first in my life. And whether I understand it, whether I know anything, whether I understand anything or not, then everything has to move aside, because I want to be where it's going to happen for me. At some point, even if I don't understand, if I can just be there. So that things can change and make things better for me. Because we all had to come the same way. We were all sinners. We were all sinners. And something had to get our attention. We all understand differently. Not everybody understands alike. We don't all see the same way. We don't understand the same way. Some of us have an easier way of grasping books and literature. Some of us can read it and really get a lot out of it. Others can read it and get nothing out of it. Some of us are at church tonight listening to these sounds. Some are anticipating in this place. There's about to be something said that's really going to bless my soul. And others are sitting here thinking, I wonder what he's talking about. And if that's not true in this little congregation, it's true somewhere, because we've got a big audience. There are hundreds of people. And over a period of a week or 2 weeks, there are thousands of people that hear the words that you hear now. There are many, many hearing right now what you're hearing in different parts of the world. But by next week at this time, thousands will have heard these words. And somewhere out there in the thousands, somewhere in some place in the world, there's going to be somebody listening right here at this point of the message that's going to say, you know, there are some things that are seemingly making sense that man is saying. I think I'm going to turn this up a little bit and see what this is all about. And that's why we don't get in a hurry. That's why we take our time, although these seats get tiresome and sticky and stick to your clothes if you sit there a while, and when you get up, your chair goes up with you. Because we realize it's not just about us, although it is about us. But you know, I want to tell you something. What church meeting like this is all for, and what internet ministry and TV ministry, radio ministry, what it's all about. We're all assembled in this place, and our main goal and purpose is to be here for sinners. Church is designed for us to get together, but it's all about trying to help you get in on the blessings that are available to you. We're not here just to pat each other on the back. If this church closed down, there would be some of us that find some way to get together. We could testify to each other, say, praise God, He's still good to me. Amen. Church couldn't pay its bills. Things went wrong. Preacher left. I heard about a preacher the other day. Just suddenly took off, and nobody knows where he went. Left the church with no pastor. Nobody can find him until this day. They don't know if he died or what. You don't know what a day will bring. There were people just 48 hours ago, making big plans. They're not around today. They had plans and places to assemble to, and careers and things they'd worked hard for that they had accumulated. It's all gone. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But it's easier to talk to you on the level of your understanding rather than talk about heaven or hell. What you're going through right now may be so severe that you can't even think past it. So So let me just tell you something. Jesus is able to take the problems and the burdens and the cares and the hurt and the pain and the sorrow that you have in your life as a result of living and ease it all for you and make it all better. And to some of us, that would seem like heaven, wouldn't it? Amen. To have our burdens lifted, to have grief taken out of our life, to have our mind at peace, to be able to say, hey, I feel good for the first time in a long time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be worth it to grab a hold of something that would do that for you? Well, that's what we're offering you here tonight. When we're saying all have sinned, we've all been sinners, we've all gone through the sin route, we know what sin is all about. We're offering hope for you, help for you, deliverance for you, comfort for you, strength for you, peace for you, something for you that the world can't give and the world can't take away. Hallelujah. That's what church is all about. On the day of Pentecost, in the book of Acts, 120 people assembled in one place. It wasn't just Peter that was preaching. And they weren't preaching to the church. But the church was with Peter. 120 in one mind and in one accord. And the whole reason for them to be standing there and for Peter to be preaching was because a multitude of sinners was listening. He wasn't just in the upper room preaching to the 119 others that had just received a revelation and received the power of God. No, they all turned outward and they heard the question, what shall we do? What does it mean? What shall we do? Where do we go from here? What's this all about? And they stood with Peter and they told the people out there, there's something here for you. And that is the pattern of the way it's always going to be. When the church comes together, we're here for you. Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's not just for us to entertain ourselves. If we get our songs polished up to where we sing better, it's because we're concerned for you. Hallelujah. If our church building becomes more beautiful, more elegant, if we have better furniture, things look better, if we get a better building, it's for you and for your children. Hallelujah. So, trying to keep it as simple as I can, but yet reading the mail to the church. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. See, Adam, how many of you have heard about Adam? He's the first man in the Bible to read about. Adam goofed. Adam did a no-no. Adam messed up. But some time went by and God gave us a man that did not mess up. Adam pulled the whole human race into condemnation. And Jesus came to deliver anybody that would be willing to be delivered out of condemnation. He said to the sinful woman after the accusers accused her of things she was guilty of, he said, I don't condemn you. Amen. He came to set the captive free. Praise God. I'm not here to condemn. I'm here to offer hope for you. Thank you, Jesus. All have sinned. We are all under condemnation. But Jesus offers us hope. Amen. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. As some people read these words and they say, you see there, it's a free gift. All have sinned. There's nothing you can do. They read the scripture that says, it's not by works, lest any man should boast. And they try to convince us that God saves sinners and keeps sinners saved as sinners. Jesus didn't die on the cross for the continuation of sin. He died on the cross to set sinners free from sin. And he said, there's a way that you can get in on this. And it is a free gift. It's a free gift of God, the plan of salvation that includes death of Jesus, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But there's a way that it is applied to our lives, and that's why we need to go back to the book of Acts and read how that's done. Repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the gift of God called the Holy Ghost or the Spirit of God in us. That's our way of getting in on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then rising to walk in newness of life with Him. It's not by our works, and we're not boasting because we have knowledge of this. It's the work of God that God put this plan together. So that no matter whether you understand or don't understand, have a high level of understanding or ability to receive things in books or comprehend things, it doesn't matter. God is able to take the smallest child that's able to pay attention for a moment and save a soul. Hallelujah. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. I could use these words to make it really simple for children who may be listening. By one man not obeying, many people became bad. But by one man who did obey, many people were made good. Amen. That's as simple as I can think to put it, but that's where I can understand it too. The law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now, those are a lot of fancy words for people who don't read the Bible that much, especially when you're reading the Bible and it's not really a part that pertains to you yet. But what it's simply saying, it doesn't matter how much you try to live by rules and legislation, the rules are going to rule you. But once you get to the point that God, you know that God has provided the strength you need and the power you need and the grace you need, amen, then you can step out of death into life. You can go from feeling like you got to obey the rules to where you just automatically do what's right because your heart gets in this. You don't have to look at some list of rules to say, now, what is it I'm supposed to remember not to do and what am I supposed to do? You don't even have to enter into the debates and discussions of what's right and what's wrong. You just live for God. And the best teacher of the universe is right there with you. And when you start to go the wrong way, you take a good step in the right way. Sometimes you won't even know why you did it. And you may never know why you did it until you get to heaven someday. But you just do what's right. Why? Because there's a light guiding you. There's a hand guiding you. There's a God with you that's able to take you past the holes in the road and get you past the traps and the things that would destroy you. He sees. He knows the way you take, and He's able to guide you. And the way He does it, sometimes we don't even understand. You ever had almost had an accident? Came so close. So close. You know, I remember that truck. I didn't know it was there. That 18-wheeler. I came to the stop sign at an intersection. And it was 4 o'clock in the morning. No traffic anywhere around. And for some reason, as I started to put my foot on the accelerator, because the way the intersection was, I was turning right, and the road that was coming where the traffic would be was coming from my You know, it was like hidden from me. And I was looking in the direction I was going. There was a stop sign there, but I was going to do one of those New York stops. You know, just ease up a little bit and then gun it. I had no reason to look back. It was 4 o'clock in the morning. Nobody was on the road in that country place. But for some reason, just as I put my foot on the accelerator to take off, I looked back to see if anything was coming. And just as I looked, an 18-wheeler went right past the front of my car about 80 miles an hour. Had I not looked, had I not taken that one moment to look, even though I didn't think anything would be there, I would not be here now. That happened right here in New England. Amen. I've often thought about that. Every time I come to that intersection now, I still think about it. Ever since that day, when I come to that intersection, I always stop and look. It taught me something. And I've often thought about, why did I look that night? You know why I think? My conclusion is this. God wasn't through with me yet. So He turned my head. See, if I'd been living in sin, if I'd just been living the way I used to live, I may not have had that something in me that would turn my head. Praise God. That's what God does for you. No telling how many ways you could avoid trouble if you had Jesus living inside of you. Hallelujah. It rains on the just and the unjust. Good things happen and bad things happen to good and bad people. But it's such a comfort to know when you have Jesus, He knows the way you're going and He knows what's coming towards you. Hallelujah. And He's able to protect us. Thank you, Jesus. I had an uncle. He never looked at a certain stop sign every day. 5 o'clock in the evening, he went that direction on his way home. And one day he ran that stop sign just like he always had. And somebody just seemingly came out of nowhere and plowed into his car. Threw him out of the car. He landed over in a field, demolished both vehicles. People were injured, crying. And when the police came, the ambulances finally got there, they heard him lying out in that field saying, "Why did they hit me? Everybody knows I go this way every day at the same time." And they were trying to say to him, "But there's a stop sign there." "I don't care. I didn't put the stop sign there. I've been going this way for years. I don't pay attention to that stop sign, and everybody knows it." There's some people just that stubborn. My uncle was. Sometimes we just need to pay attention whether we ever did it before or not. If the way you've gone, and I don't know who I'm talking to, whether it be somebody here, somebody out there, or somebody somewhere in the future that will be listening, but if the way you have been living has gotten you to a point where it's taken you nowhere, what would it hurt to try Jesus? Now, Jesus is filled with stop and go signs. There are places, but see, you can't really see the red light or know when to go unless you have Jesus, because He's the one that turns it all off and on. Praise God. You don't know which way to go sometimes if you don't have Jesus. And when I say don't have Jesus, Jesus is always there. But it's different to have Him there and to have Him living inside of you. Jesus always loves you no matter all of sin. He loves all sinners. He loves you. But He wants to be in you, but He won't be in you if sin is in you. Is that simple? So what He wants to do is take sin out so He can come in. And no matter how hard you try, you can drink Tide ivory, liquid, anything you want to. You won't get sin out of your life. You can take a bubble bath and drink the water when you get through. You won't get sin out of your life. But one drop of Jesus' blood from that old cross will take all of it. If you can just believe it. Believe it. And even believing, if you would look at it from the way that some people explain works, believing, you know, it's just something that God requires. Believe on Him. That's the beginning. Nobody can come to God unless we believe on Him. That's the Word of God. So He put it in us to be able to believe. Otherwise, we wouldn't know what to do to get started. But He made it simple. We can believe a lot of stuff. People want to believe National Enquirer, but they don't want to listen to the Word of God. People want to believe the movies and it'll make them cry and shed tears, but the Word of God, it's just something to endure. Well, I'll try to get through so you don't have to endure too much longer. So in chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The answer, verse 2, God forbid. Now, that right there takes away all the argument from the people that say you got to keep sinning more or less every day. Those two words, God forbid, that means you don't got to keep sinning more or less every day. Because if God forbids it, there has to be a way to stop it. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Again, what we're talking about here now, this is a church. This is Paul writing to the church, people who are dead to sin. He's writing to the Holy Ghost-filled people who have been baptized in Jesus' name. Dead to sin means they have repented and been baptized in Jesus' name. That means sin has been washed out of their life and they are dead to sin. In other words, they're not sinners anymore. That's who this is written to. Now, if you're hearing it tonight and you're saying, oh, but I'm a sinner, that's okay, listen. Because in here you're going to learn that one and one makes two and two and two makes four. Because you have to be able to listen to somebody that knows an answer sometimes to get started. I sat there in that first grade. Teacher said, would anybody like to come up here and help me read? I raised my hand. I didn't know how to read one word. I didn't even know the ABCs, how they look. It was just like the third day of school for me. Does anybody want to come up here and help me read this book? Yeah, I do. I went up and I stood there and she held this little book in front of me and pointed her finger to the words. And I waited because I didn't know what the word was. And she said, are you ready? I said, yes, ma'am. Read. I said, well, you have to tell me the words. So she said, Tom. And I said, Tom went to town. And we went right on reading. Sue went to town, to. And as long as she knew what to say, I knew what to say. But she knew something I didn't know. A time would come when all those little black things on that page would mean something to me. But right now, without the help of that person that knew the way, I was totally lost. But I had confidence. That teacher would not embarrass me. That teacher would not call me up there to make a fool out of me. She was kind. She was nice. And when she said, does anybody want to help me read? There was a certain amount of confidence inside this little boy that I felt like even though I don't understand, even though I can't read, when I get up there, she's going to fix it. Hallelujah. I don't know how she's going to do it, but I went up there with confidence in the one that knew what to do. That's all Jesus is asking of you. Believe on Him. Believe on Him. He knows what to do. Keep coming to church. Keep listening to the Word. Keep wanting to be in on this. Sooner or later, He's going to call you up and say, come and help me read this. Then He's going to show you how to read it for yourself. Would you praise Him right now? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. We're almost through. God forbid that we continue in sin. How shall we that are dead to sin live in it any longer? So, don't you know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism. Don't tell me baptism's not important. This is the Word of God to the church that had been baptized in Jesus' name. And He is saying, reminding the church, we are buried. It's not a thing where you just got buried one time several years ago when you got baptized. Amen. We continue. Amen. What God did at the burial continues in our life. Amen. Whatever died with Him, amen, continues to be dead with Him. We are buried with Him by baptism unto death. That's when we died out to sin. Amen. And like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. See, when Jesus was crucified, He was nailed to the cross. For all sin. It was for all sinners. For all people. Trapped in this ungodly, sinful world. With a sinful nature that you didn't ask for. And Jesus was crucified. So that you could have a way out of that. And He gave you a way to be crucified with Him. And that's through baptism in the name of Jesus. Amen. And coming out to live for Him as He gives you the power to do what you couldn't do on your own. Knowing that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, or from now on, in other words, we should not serve sin. You don't have to have sin making you do what you do anymore. One man told me up in Canada, as soon as I get through sinning, I'm going to start going to church. It doesn't work that way. You can't get through sinning until you start going to church. He said, there's some things that I have done that mean that I have to continue to do some things because what I have done is wrong. But He said, I can't get out of it because I got to do some more wrong. And He said, I don't feel like I should go to church until I do these other wrong things. Well, that's logic, you know. I mean, it sounds right to the logical mind. But if you only knew, God knows where we are all the time. What He wants us to do is find that He understands. He doesn't condone the sin, but He says, come as you are. Come as you are in the mess you're in. With the answers that are just not there and there's no way out. Come with the trouble that's in your life. You don't know what to do, which way to turn. You can't fix it and nobody else can. And life is nothing but a big mess of frustration. But come on anyhow. Hallelujah. And somehow as you put forth the effort, God has a plan that you never thought of. And He's going to fix it for you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. You know why He died? He died for sinners. Otherwise, the only way you could get sin out of your life would be for you to die. But that wouldn't really fix it because you're not Christ. It would just stop you from sinning. But Jesus was able to go to the cross for all of us And so His death can stop us from sinning and leave us living in a sinful world where we're still tempted. And things still go wrong. And things happen. But we have power through the Holy Ghost. Through the power of God in us. For in that he died unto sin once. In that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also in yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign. Don't let sin be the ruler in your life. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. And don't yield yourself. It uses the word members, but it's talking about your body parts. Your fingers and toes and anything else you can think of. Don't give that over as instruments that are bad or unrighteous. What you do with your body is important. How you dress it, where you go, what you do, what you say no to, what you drink, what you don't drink, what you eat, all this is important. And you can say, I don't believe in dress codes. I'm not talking dress code. I'm talking about the body that becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost. And when Christ is in you, there are certain things you will start to do, and you may not even know why you do it. And if somebody says, show me chapter and verse why you do what you do, you may not be able to find it in the Bible. But you can just smile and say, I'm going to do it anyhow because I love Jesus. And there's something that's in me that's holding the reins. There's something within me that makes me know what I am doing is not wrong. The best thing you can do, I think, to these people that say, show me scripture and verse of why you dress like you dress. Just turn around and say, you show me scripture and verse that says I can't dress like this. Because if God has put something in my heart that says, I must do this to please God, and there's nothing in the Bible against it, and the Bible seems to be all for it, you leave me alone. I'm going to dress like I feel like God would be pleased with this body. And I'm going to take this body where I think God would be pleased for it to go. And I'm going to drink and eat things that I think God would be pleased with. And when I get to heaven, even though I will have a different body, I want to be able to say to my Jesus, as I hear Him say, well done. I did what I could, but I couldn't have made it without your help. Hallelujah. Oh, man. I'd like to preach on holiness right now. And I'm not talking about standards. I'm talking about true holiness, without which nobody can see the Lord. I'm talking about pureness in place of sinful living. I'm talking about separation from the world rather than being a part of that and still trying to maintain Christianity too. Amen. Let us stand together. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Amen. We're under grace. That's why we're able to repent and be baptized in Jesus' name. Know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked, you were the servants of sin. He's talking to the church now. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Amen. Being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. Amen. It's a lot better to do what you do because you got a good God that's making things turn out good in your life. And it's just something you do because you just want to live good. That's a lot better than feeling like you got to do what you do and you know it's bad but you can't keep from it. It's better. It's better to yield your life to a God who will take you into a good path and lead you beside still waters and keep your life, your mind at peace and your soul at rest than to keep struggling with the terrible things, issues of life that come into our pathway that makes you go this way, makes you go that way, and you end up taking this, taking that, trying this, trying that, and everything keeps you feeling empty no matter how much you try. You need something more. Another high. Something, anything. Something to drown out your sorrow. No. The answer is always going to be Jesus. Amen. Jesus is always going to be the answer. When you've tried everything you can try, try Jesus. When you've done everything you know to do, try Jesus. Hallelujah. He's your answer. He's your answer. He's the answer for the drug addict. He's the answer for the alcoholic. He's the answer for the person that can't stop living the way you're living. He is the answer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And do it His way, not your way, not their way, but God's way. Get in the book, get in the Bible and find something that pertains to you. I'm in the Saints book tonight. I'm in the book of Romans, something written to the church. If you haven't repented and been baptized in Jesus' name and received the Holy Ghost, you got a little insight of something you can look forward to tonight. But right now, the only scripture in this book that you need to be reading is Acts 2:38. And read it over and over and over and over till you get in the water. Yes. Nothing else applies to you yet. Hallelujah. Without repentance, baptism in Jesus' name and the Holy Ghost, this is just another book in your life and it won't do you an ounce of good. Even if you keep all the rules. Let's praise Him one more time. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We were speaking with a lady a few nights back. She was not yet filled with the Holy Ghost. And I let her know that's your focal point. Praise God. Nothing else matters right now. Amen. Holy Ghost. Receiving the Spirit of God, just like it's written in the Word, it's your focal point. Amen. In closing tonight, let's sing this little chorus. He was nailed to the cross for me. Yes, He did it almost 2,000 years ago, but He did it for you. Because He knew time would turn and people would be born. And in our day, He knew He would still have ministers and people that would love Him that would tell you, I did this for you. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's sing it together. He was nailed to the cross for me. He was nailed to the cross for me. On the cross crucified for me. Was nailed to the cross for me. He was nailed to the cross for me. On the cross crucified for me. Lord, we thank You tonight. God, I'm praying for everyone that's here that have heard the word of the Lord tonight. Pray that Jesus, they'll seriously consider their own soul and that God, nothing will choke what they've heard tonight, knowing there are troubles, there are problems in life, and there's a misunderstanding most of all. Make the connection with them. Help them. Praise God. Help them to understand that the joy they're looking for in life, the true happiness, is one step away. Praise God. We thank You for tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You for what You did for us. You didn't have to, Lord, but You chose to in Your own plan to remedy. Praise God. Sin would not have the last say. Thank You for it, Lord. Praise God. Amen. God bless you tonight. Thank you for being here. And I pray in time to come you realize how important these moments were. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus.